Christmas songs are a blessing. I will remind us that the lamb, when the lion became a lamb, one day the lamb will come back as a lion, and he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will judge this world. And quite frankly, I'm ready. I'm ready. That last song, man, that was a good song. Woo! I like that one. All right, I want you to take your Bibles to begin with, to Colossians chapter 1. I'll read one verse of Scripture there, and then I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 and spend most of our time, which we've spent quite a bit of time over the last several months, in the book of Ephesians. It is good to see some people back at church that we've been praying for. Claire, it's a blessing to see her. She's back with us. And Bethany's, I hope her teeth are feeling better. I know she had her wisdom teeth out, so it's good to see her. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And Scott's been back with us a couple weeks. We did have another family that tested positive for COVID last week. Debbie and Tim Skiermont, you might want to remember them in prayer as well. But it's good to see some people healing up and coming back to church, and we appreciate that. We have been talking about light in darkness and how Jesus has come, and it's good to see Beth this morning. I didn't even see you, Beth. How Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world. And so we're going to continue that theme. I want to pray. I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture from Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll switch over to Ephesians chapter 4. But let's pray. Father, we thank you that you did come to the earth, as we heard again in some beautiful music about how you came. You were in a manger all the way to the resurrection. And Lord, we are so thankful that in that resurrection you got victory over death, hell, and the grave. We thank you that we have a Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you gave yourself a sacrifice for us. You died on the cross of Calvary. You shed your blood, and you gave us eternal. For those of us that put our faith and trust in you, you give us eternal, everlasting life, and one day we will be resurrected as well. And so those are wonderful things to learn, to hear about again in music. I pray that if those that are listening to this particular message, regardless of how, if they do not know Jesus, they would come to know him as their Savior. And for the rest of us, Lord, we think about Christmas and we think about the birth of our Savior. And I pray your blessing on the rest of the message and the rest of this service here today. And I ask you to bless it with your power and with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would look with me at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son." Christmas has always been associated with light. And I don't mean just the lights that we put up when we decorate and when we put up on our Christmas trees and all over the place when you drive by people's houses. And they're nice to see. But when I talk about Christmas being associated with light, I'm talking about it being associated with specifically the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen in Scripture the last few weeks that there is a great contrast between light and darkness. And where we read there, I'll read it one more time in Colossians 1:13. It says, "Who hath delivered us," that is those that have trusted Jesus as Savior, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Now that is quite a transformation. It's often called conversion. We refer to it a lot when we talk about being converted. It is being converted from a lost person to a saved person, or from a child of the devil to the child of God. It's a conversion. And it's something that happens to you because you were born again by the Spirit of God. It doesn't happen to anybody just because they were born in a Christian home, or because you attend church, or because you sing Christmas carols and Christmas hymns at this time of the year. That's not it. This conversion is instantaneous and it is permanent. And once you enter into the kingdom of light, you are in the light. You are the kingdom of light. That's what we are that have trusted Jesus as our Savior. We are the kingdom of light. Now, after that, it is our responsibility to share the light. So my desire or my goal is for you to come to that light. If you've never come to Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never done that. And then my second goal would be that you would let your light shine in the darkest of places. That you would let your light so shine before men, as we'll read a little bit later on in the message. In Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to flip between them, the themes of light and darkness, they go between them. For instance, look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. It said there, "For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." It is written to the people specifically of Ephesus when Paul wrote this. Here, in this long time ago, was a temple that was referred to as the Temple of Diana, and it had all kinds of immorality associated with it. I won't go into detail on it, but if you want to read it, you can, or study it, you can. But it was also a place of great commerce, and all the things that are listed in verse 5 are part of the culture that was in Ephesus. They thought it wouldn't hinder them from being welcomed into the kingdom of God. They thought, well, we can live this way and it'll all be just fine. But look down at verse 6. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Vain words. Words that are used by people to justify their immoral lifestyle, and maybe they are convinced that God is going to be okay with that, but ultimately God is not okay with that. Our nation is full of empty words. Look at verses 7 and 8. "Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness." Now look up here for a minute. Every one of us, one time or another, walked in darkness. We were all part of darkness. Don't exclude yourself. Don't think you don't fit into there. You do fit into there. All of us at one time in our life were in darkness. I mentioned this earlier, but it isn't, you don't become light because you're brought up in a Christian home or because you attend church or whatever like that. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God. He said, "You were therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness," but now he says this, "But now are ye the light in the Lord." And he says, "Walk as children of light." That's what he's saying here, and that's what we need to do. We were in darkness, but now we are the children of light. Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:2, he said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." When God showed us our need for salvation, God showed us a great light. He also showed us a great need. Jesus spoke of those who were followers and who walk in darkness. Paul said, the people who are not translated, he said, they're still in darkness and they're still part of darkness. But he says that we are the light. Now, what does that mean to walk in the light in such a way that it impacts our culture? Because for most of us here, we know Jesus as Savior. We've given our heart to Him. We've given our life to Him. I would like to think all of you, but that would be unrealistic, I suppose, to think that all of you have committed your life to the Lord completely, 100%, without any reservation. I would love to think that would be true, but I don't know that it is. But if it's not in your life, you can do that today as well. But it says we're light. Now, what does it mean to walk in such a way that our light, my light, or you, your light, how does it impact our culture? Because we're living in a very critical time in history. And this nation and this world, and when I say the world, I mean the world, this world needs light. Most of you are familiar with the Rahab Refuge Ministry my wife is launching and has got a pretty good start on it, actually. But I watched two documentaries this week on it, and I'm going to tell you something. There is so much darkness in this world, it is absolutely disgusting. America, for years this has been true, we lead the world in child pornography. We lead the world in sex trafficking. One of the documentaries that we watched was Americans going to Haiti and buying children in Haiti and bringing them back and doing one of two things with them. They either become their sex slaves or they become their slaves, like to be their servants. But those were American, and they all got arrested, and I thought, yeah, one for the good guys. It's just evil. But the people in Haiti take those kids and they gather them up and they sell them. That's evil. There is more slavery in the world today, probably, than any other time in the history of the world. It's hard to believe, you know that? But that seems to be true, at least from what I'm gathering. That's evil. That's darkness. And do you know what needs to go into the darkness? The light. And you know where I look out and you know what I see? I see lights. We sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." I wonder how much we're really allowing our light to shine into our culture and into our world. Now, go back to chapter 4. We walk in the light because of what we know. I want you to notice verse 17. This is the page that I was taping together in my Bible, and I hope I've got it lined up right. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." But he said this, "But ye have not so learned Christ." We have learned better. We know better. We know more. I guess you could use the phrase, we've been enlightened, to where some people haven't been enlightened. The word blindness in verse 18 has the idea of hardness. They have a hard heart. It has the idea of callousness. Their hearts are calloused. What Paul is saying, when you come to the light, you no longer need to be darkened in your understanding. God illuminates your mind through the teaching of the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit of God, and you get understanding. We now recognize darkness when we see it. That's what we can do. I read a story once where there were these guys camping. This is a paraphrase of it, but they were walking one night in the dark. They had their flashlights, but they really couldn't see far. So they got to a particular place that looked like a pretty flat area. So they said, "Let's pitch our tents here." So they pitched their tents. And what they did not know until they got up in the morning was they were 50 feet or thereabout from a cliff. They couldn't see that cliff in the darkness. And had they kept walking that night, they would have gone over that cliff. By the grace of God, I guess you could say, they stopped and they pitched their tent and they were fine the next morning. You see, when the light came, they could see the cliffs. When the light came, they could see the danger zones and the danger areas. But in the darkness, like the natural man walks in, the natural man doesn't see the darkness. He doesn't have the knowledge that you and I are blessed to have. But when the light comes, Jesus, when Jesus comes into our life, we see things differently. For example, pro-life versus pro-choice. You hear testimonies all the time of those who were at one time very strong pro-choice. And then something happened. They got saved. And all of a sudden, they study the Word of God, and now they have a new perspective. They start to think like God. And they become pro-life. I was once one of those. I was in that camp before I was a Christian. I was pro-choice. But then after I got saved, God did a work in my heart, and I became pro-life. Now, it wasn't because the argument got stronger, although the argument medically is stronger today, that I began to see things differently. I got God's view on things. And God's view taught me that that was life. The light does that. When you get the light of the world into you, it does those kind of things. And the argument could be unquestionable, and there would still be those who would still be pro-choice. That's why they need the light. Everybody needs the light. They need Jesus. That's what they need. Now, I want to add this because I used that particular illustration with abortion. That sin is a forgivable sin. Any woman or any man that has been, a man didn't have one, but I mean they've paid for them and they've been involved with them and they've encouraged people to have them. Or women that have had, those things are forgivable, just like any other sin. I only use that illustration to show you how light helps you to see the danger zone, and you know where we are in our culture and in our lives, and I'm telling you, this world is in a danger zone. There are people who have been brought up in a Christian home, yet they'll say, I'm an atheist. I knew a man in Ohio that way. His grandfather was a pastor of a Baptist church, actually, and his parents were also in the ministry. They were Sunday school teachers and stuff like that, so they were involved in ministry. But as he got older, he walked away from everything that he was brought up in. Why? Why do people do that? And they come up and say, well, you know, I got new information now, and, you know, I'm convinced. And by the way, their new information is faulty information. The issue isn't a matter of evidence. Look at verse 18 and verse 4 again. Here's what the issue is. Having the understanding darkened, they're in darkness. That's the issue. That's the problem. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because, and here's the real problem, the blindness or the hardness of their heart. They've got a hard heart. They've got a cold heart. They've got a calloused heart. The reason is the blindness or the callousness or the hardness of their hearts. That's the issue. And when we get a hard heart, when we are cynical and we think and we believe the world, that's why people say things like this. Well, life is unfair. God hasn't helped me when I needed help. We've been in situations where we thought a good God should deliver us and he's not done that. And I'm not guilty of all, I heard a guy tell me recently, I'm not guilty of certain things, and I don't understand why God allows all this to happen. So we develop a cynical attitude. Then there is unresolved guilt. Instead of listening to your conscience and saying, yep, this is wrong, or listening to the Holy Spirit and say, yes, he is right, you say, a conscience, stop bothering me. You don't say that, but that's kind of what you think. But that doesn't work well. What we need to realize is that when we walk in the light, we are walking with a sense of knowledge and a sense of understanding that the lost world, the natural man, they don't have that understanding. They don't have that knowledge. And so you and you and you and me, we are to be light in this world. That's what we're supposed to be. We aren't anything great. You ever look around and look at the people that God uses? Let me tell you what I can do. I can get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, why in the world would God want to use me? We're not anything special. We're not anything great. We're not any better than anybody else. We have no reason to say, I thank myself, I'm this wonderful person. But God gives us light. And he gives us understanding, and he gives us wisdom. And we're not to be arrogant because we don't figure it out all on our own, but God has given us a gift. Where I started in Colossians chapter 1, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what he's done for us. We are in the light because of what we know. We are in the light because of who we know. We know Jesus, and the world, they don't. They don't. Secondly, we are in the light because of the way we live. Now flip over to chapter 5 and verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Let me put it in your language. Don't live like that. Don't live like a child of darkness. Don't live that way. If you go back to the previous verse, what he said in verse 6, and I've already read it, but you can read it again. Don't associate with them. The Christians in the darkness, they can't do that. You can't go back into dark. Now listen, this is a warning to all of us. We can go back into darkness, at least for a time. But let me continue in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what we're commanded to do. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, it says, reprove them or expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. The light makes it manifest. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now you'll notice the contrast between the light. You'll notice the contrast. If you are in the light, you have fruit. Now some of you are gardeners. Do you ever notice fruit doesn't grow in the dark? So when you put a garden in, you don't find the shadiest place in your yard to put a garden in. You try to find the place where the sun gets to. Why? It needs the light. It needs the sun. We need the sun too. S-O-N, not S-U-N, but we need the sun. And the sun shines. Now, I will say this. I guess I can add that I know people who are in darkness, but they do good things because of the commonality of human life, I guess you can say. I know lost people that don't drink and that don't do drugs and that don't carouse around and have good families. I know lost people like that. But those good deeds, because they are not offered up to God through Christ, are like hanging ornaments on your tree. It makes the tree look better, but it'll never bring life back to that tree that's in the middle of your living room or wherever you happen to have it. There is nothing that arises unless it arises from a new nature. That only happens to believers. We get that new nature at salvation. As a believer, if you are tempted to go back and dabble in that darkness, just remember this. In darkness, there is no fruit. There's no fruit. There's only more darkness. Now, in darkness, people can be motivated to do good, to avoid shame, to get others to say, look at so-and-so, and they get to receive honor, and they look good, isn't that wonderful? But I want you to notice verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Does it please God? Is it acceptable to God? What you do and what I do and what I do and what I say, is it pleasing to the Lord? You can please God by what you watch on the television. You can please God by the people you associate with. You can please God by your lifestyle. Here is a question to keep in our minds, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are in our life. Does it please the Lord? Is it pleasing to God? Is this acceptable to Him? We are to walk that way because it said in verse 11 that we expose darkness. Why do we reprove darkness? Well, verse 12 told us, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in the secret. Says that they do these things in secret. They don't want anybody to see them. Now, not to shame anybody, the purpose of reproving or exposing it is always, and now this is part of where we come in, it is always to get the light of Jesus to replace the darkness of the devil and the world that's in their life. That's the purpose. That's our goal. Our goal is to help bring people out of darkness and get them into the light. That's our goal. Notice in verse 13 it said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It becomes visible. Our reproving of darkness must be done not with a view of condemnation. We don't go out there and try to condemn anybody, I hope on purpose, but helping people to see that there is a better way, and the better way is the light of the world through Jesus Christ that brings to us. How do we become light in our dark society? By what we know and by who we know, by the way we live our life, and thirdly, by what we say. Now jump back to chapter, well, you probably don't even have to move a page, but verse 29 of chapter 4. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we are to not speak evil, but we are to try to encourage people and bring them to the light. Because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit by what we say and by what we do. And in Sunday school a few weeks ago, we went through a whole lesson on the number one way we can grieve the Holy Spirit is anger. Now, in our testimony, we aren't laughing at the same filthiness that they laugh at. We don't laugh at the same filthy jokes that they talk about. We don't participate in all the criticism or the gossip that is for darkness, but sometimes exists even in people of light, but it ought not to, but it does. We don't condemn people and drive them away, but spend time with them and individually help them to see where we are coming from, the light of the world, and why we think Jesus is the most wonderful gift that God could ever give to this world. And that's why every year at Christmas, we have some kind of special music and some kind of a special program. We actually usually have more than what we had this year, but I thought that was fabulous what those young people put together today anyway, so praise God for that. Then next Sunday, we go down to the Patch and to the Pee-wees, and they've got stuff prepared for us for next Sunday. And I don't know if that's Christmas or New Year's. I haven't been told yet, but I guess we'll figure that out when it happens. But nonetheless, we just thank God that God sent the greatest gift that he could have ever given us, his son, into this world. And we think that Jesus is the most wonderful gift that there is. And it would be Christmas if you never got a gift. If you have Jesus, you have what Christmas is really all about in the beginning. And when we do it with a sense of humility, that is, we share Jesus with others with a sense of humility. We might ask somebody, where are you in your journey with the Lord? And they may stagger around and stumble along in their speech back to you, but you open up a conversation with some other thought-provoking question that you come up with, and maybe you have a list of them already, and you begin to talk about the Lord. But you cannot just live your life and expect somebody to get saved. They may think, boy, that's a nice lady. That's a really good guy right there. And you've got to say something. They need to know it's all about Jesus. What do they know? And you find out what they know or what they don't know about Jesus. That's what you do. What is the explanation for the way we live our life? And we begin to tell them with our lips. Because the Bible says what? Faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come just by somebody look at your life and say, wow, I guess I'll turn to Jesus. But they might not even know who Jesus is. So we've got to say something. Now I want you to notice a little more in chapter 5 and verse 17, where it says, wherefore be ye not, okay, I can't read this. My pages aren't exactly right here. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Did I get that right? Good. And be not drunk with, some of these verses I actually got memorized. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I guess I got it. But listen, that's what we're supposed to do. That's the expression that should be on our minds and on our hearts, and we should be thankful people, different people, because we have been brought into the light, and we've been taught by the light, and what a privilege I have, and what a privilege you have. And way too many Christians, they don't seem to understand that. Let me say some closing comments and observations. You know what we are? First of all, we are called to reflect the light. That is our calling. Jesus is the light of the world, and we are to reflect that light out into the world. I often ask myself, or maybe don't say it out loud, but think this, how are we doing? How are we doing reflecting the true light? Does the sun or the moon ever say, I really don't feel like reflecting any light today. I don't think I'm going to shine today. They never do that. But it seems like Christians sometimes do that. They might not do it verbally. We cast ourselves on God. You are the light of the world. I've received you, we ought to pray. Lord, I've received you as light, and I want to reflect you to a world that is very deceived and very confused, because it's all about Jesus. And go over to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. Now here is what Jesus told us. Actually, it's verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. That's what you are. You might be a very dim light, you might be a very bright light, but ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can I ask you a very simple question? Are you willing to shine like that in a dark world? That's our call. So when we shine like that, our light impacts our culture. We have been living almost a year now in COVID life. We've had no evangelism blitzes for the first time, and I can't remember. We would have had four by now. If we get out, conservatively speaking, at least 400 gospel tracts and gospel witnesses each time, that's, you know, probably 1,500 to 2,000 opportunities that we lost. So, those things aren't going to happen probably at least till late spring, middle of summer this year. We have no vans that we run right now. There's no buses, obviously, van routes going out. I assume next fall all of those things will be happening. But do you realize we're still supposed to be the light of the world right now, even no matter how crazy our world is? We're supposed to still be light. We're supposed to still let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father. But how are we doing? Do we complain as much as the lost world does? All these lockdowns. I have to be honest, the lockdowns hasn't really affected my life even a little, other than my ministry. It hasn't affected me at all. But some people can't. And you know what? Our lockdowns are nothing compared to the rest of the world. I read these missionary letters and I'm like, okay, this is a little bit over the edge. But some people are just really struggling with this, and so maybe you complain right alongside the rest of the world. I don't like the fact that we can't go door knocking. I don't like the fact that a lot of our ministries have been put on hold for a while. That's the part that bothers me more than anything. In fact, that's the only part that bothers me, if you want to know the truth. But we still, no matter what, what if you lived in a communist country? You say, well, we don't. Yeah, well, it looks like we're headed that way. But anyway, let's say you lived in a communist country. Would you complain over there? It'd be the culture that you were living. You have to let your light shine no matter where you are. I'm trying to think of that phrase. Grow where you're planted, shine where you're planted. You know what I mean, I think. Something like that, yeah. But that's what we have to do. We have to let our light shine. You still go to stores. You can still be polite and kind, and you can smile, and you can have a gospel track, and you can invite people to church and let people know we're still having church and invite them out. We can shine our light so people wonder who we are or what we are. At least three times in my life, I've had people walk up to me and say, there is something different about you, and I don't want to know what it is. And then one guy specifically said, you've got something that I don't have, and I want to know what that is. I said, well, I don't have anything you don't have. I have somebody you don't have. I have Jesus. And doesn't he make all the difference in the world anyway? He does. So we've got to let our light shine. Maybe they'll ask us questions, and we get to the point, we get to point them to the light of the world. We get to point them to Jesus. We are to reflect the light. We are called to be light. How many... This is a scary question for all of us to think about. How many people have I witnessed to since last March? How many people have you witnessed to since last March or whenever they shut the world down? We're supposed to be light, no matter what. Now, don't let somebody say to you, well, you know, I'll be the light of the world after you mature and you get it all together. No, as soon as you got converted, where I started with that, you are translated. Okay, once you got translated, now all of a sudden you became the light of the world. That's what you are. That's what Jesus said. Ye are the light of the world. Don't do what he said in verse 15 there. Don't put your light under a bushel and hide it. Don't let Satan blow it out. You let your light so shine before men. Do you see that you are the light and that you are important in the framework of God and to the ministry of God and his witness to our community and his witness to the world and to our families and to our friends? We are light that ought to be shining brightly. We are called to reflect the light. Secondly, darkness doesn't just bring obstacles. You've heard this before probably. Darkness brings opportunities. The darkness, all these obstacles. But look at all the opportunities. I can't quote this. Ezekiel chapter 5. And I look at that turn. I mean flipped right to it. Probably the wrong reference. Ezekiel chapter 5, when you get there, I'll read in verse 15. We have before us opportunities. You know, there's a lot of fear in this world still. A lot of fear. And I guess if I lived in a different country, I would get it. Some of you aren't in here on Wednesday nights. We read a missionary letter Wednesday night from Peter and an 8A Duke. They're in Mexico. And if you test positive for COVID in Mexico, you have a 27% chance to die. Only 73% survival rate. Their daughter has it. You might want to pray for the Duke's daughter. They've got her on 7 or 8 different medicines, if I remember the letter right. And it's like, I don't think these people know what they're doing over there as far as treating it. And the death rate is off the chart. They ran out of death certificates. So it's a dark world. Now, notice, but think about all the opportunities Brother Pete could have over there. He could say, look, we're in serious times over here, man. You guys better think about where your eternal destiny is going. Notice what you're in Ezekiel 5:15, if you're not, pretend you are. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and an establishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken it. When I shall send upon them the evil arrows, the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread. I'm not sure that's the exact reference I wanted, but do you see the opportunities there when people live like that? We have opportunities. We ought to be taking advantage of them. Do you notice this about that passage? That's a dark world. I mean dark. And that's kind of what we're living in. From technology, that distracts people. Politically, morality, our days are evil. Just like that. That is the right reference I wanted. Paul didn't say, try to get out of them or hide in a cave and, you know, and hope to escape all of that stuff. That's not what God said. He said, let your light so shine before men. Right where God has planted you, you represent him in an evil and a scary time for some people. Let your light shine. You may be in a job you hate. You may be in an atmosphere that you cannot stand. But you are there because you are the light of the world. Think of it that way. And God has put you there, and God has planted you there, and let your light shine there. You don't know how bad it is here, Pastor. You're probably right. I probably don't. But let your light shine there no matter what. Just do it. You may hate everything about wherever you work. I've never had a job I didn't like. I've had some pretty nasty ones. But I just say, okay, I'm going to like it, and I like it. I mean, I don't understand it, but. You may be the best light that those people will ever meet. Have you ever heard somebody say this? You may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. You. Me. I wonder what kind of a representation of the Bible I am. You ought to ask yourself the same question. Ever think about that? You, no matter what your circumstance, you hang in there and you represent Jesus right where you are and don't go back into darkness. But if you find yourself dabbling in darkness or going back into darkness, get confessed up, give it to the Lord, confess it, he'll forgive you, forsake it, he'll forgive you, and walk in light. And you pray and you seek God, and you might be surprised what impact you can have, even if you don't see it with your own eyes or with your own life. I remember when I don't work at a mill anymore, but I used to work in a mill. I would have more opportunities to talk with lost people at the mill after I was saved a while than probably any other place in my life. Even more so, there's a path. Lost people don't come over to the office and say, I'm here to ask you a question. How can I be saved? But that doesn't happen very often. Now, I've had it a few times, but not very often. I wish it happened more, to be honest. It hasn't happened once in the however long we've been paused. So when I was at the mill, people would come up and ask me all sorts of questions. And my first thought was, I'm not a pastor. I don't have any answers for you. What are you talking to me for? And then all of a sudden, I started learning a little bit more and learning a little bit more. And I think I helped some people. I led a couple guys to the Lord, and they're living for the Lord, so I was glad with that. You never know the seed you're planting that might bear fruit. In light, you bear fruit, but you don't bear fruit in darkness. The fruit in Galatians 5 lets the nature of Jesus be revealed through us. We've been studying that in Sunday school. I won't go there today. It's honoring to God, and it has impact, and it grows from within because the light of the world is within us. So, you are today in light, or you are today in darkness. There is no third category. You're either walking in darkness or you're walking in light. Your darkness might not be as dark as other places that I've mentioned, but you're still in darkness. But there's no other option. In chapter 5, in verse 14 of Matthew, listen, we want you to come to Jesus. That's what we want. And he will give you light. He will shine upon you. When we accept Jesus, he shines upon us and we become reflections of his light. And don't hide it under a bushel. Don't be silent. Because, and I'll finish with this. Because you know something. Because you know someone that other people need to hear about. They need to hear about Jesus. And they need a humble witness. And that's me. And that's you. That's what we are. That's what we're supposed to be. Now let me ask you this. Would you let the Lord use you like that? We've talked about the light coming. The last three services have all been about light and darkness. One more tonight. But would you let the light so shine from you to other men and women and boys and girls? Now you think about that. How are you doing with all of this? If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the true light of Christmas, I can only say to you, come to the light. Come to the light. But if you do, and that is the majority of us, we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Shed your light, church, where you are planted. And just remember this, because it's all about Jesus anyway. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the light of the world, the true light that John said, and we read it last Sunday morning, I think, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There might be somebody here today that's still in darkness. They've not come to the light. They've heard some beautiful music. They've heard the message of the beautiful music, but they might still be in darkness. And I pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they would come to the light, that they would come to Jesus. And for the rest of us, We're to let our light shine right where we are planted. And I would, and I mentioned this a few times, Lord, but I'm not the Spirit of God. This is your work now. Show us how we're doing. Show us what kind of a light we are. Even a little light shines some in darkness. No matter how dark, no matter how little the light always can shine in darkness. We can shine. How are we doing? Show us, Lord. And help us, regardless of the world situation, it just to be light in this world, at our jobs, at the stores, at our homes, with our families. Let us shine. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. There is nobody looking around. Faith is going to start playing. I'm going to step off to the side. If you don't know Jesus and you need to come to the light, step up, come forward, and somebody can show you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. Or you can cry out to God sitting in the seat where you are, and you can confess your sinfulness or your darkness. I used the word this morning. You can confess it to the Lord. Say, I trust Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus today. You can do that. But for us that are believers, and I'm waiting for those of you that don't know Christ to come. Just come. Just come. We want you to come to the light. God wants you to come to the light. Those of you listening on the internet, come to the light. All the rest of us, how bright is your light shining? Are you dabbling in darkness? Confess it and get out of it. Let your light so shine before men, because we are the light of the world. Grab a hymn book. We'll stand and we'll sing that song. It's 334. Dan, if you'll come and help us out here. You can still come. You can trust Jesus as your Savior. You can still give your life to Him. You can confess any darkness that you're in. Have just a few moments. Hymn 334.
Jesus, like sunshine that noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus.
Amen. If you want me to pray with you or something this morning, you come on up here when we're done, and I'll be glad to pray with you or answer a question if you have any. Father, thank you for what we've heard this morning in song. Thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the challenge to be reflectors of that light. That's our calling. I mean, it's every born-again believer's, it just is. Jesus didn't single out a few. He said, ye are the light of the world. And I pray that we would reflect you just as well as we humanly possibly can, filled with the Spirit of God. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.